nothing is easy, but we have really worked our way through a lot of the details, which has made it smooth for, we hope, our employees and also for the command leadership as well. We basically started planning this back in 2005 as soon as the law came out. And we put a lot of things in place early on to make sure that we had a smooth, gradual transition out of Virginia into Alabama. We basically employed a strategy that has temporary facilities, so we were able to establish a presence early on and then incrementally increase our numbers in the state of Alabama, decrementing at Virginia, being in a kind of split-based operations construct for several years, which has been challenging, but it has allowed us to smoothly transition, and we are really on the tail end as the move closes in no later than July this year for us.
And how many people are involved that are picking up routes, really, to move to Alabama?
Well, that's an interesting question. There are roughly 1,300 spaces associated with Army Materiel Command, but clearly not everybody chooses to move. We are having great success in getting a large percentage of people to decide to go, and part of that is because we've been able to offer people many options of when to move. In other words, by having interim facilities early on, people who wanted to relocate early could do so. People who wanted to wait toward the latter part of BRAC, which we're in right now, could also do so. So that's increased our numbers. Today on the ground, we have over 800 people, and so we're clearly well over our 50% mark, and we really expect to end up close to 50% choosing to move overall by the end of the process.
And what kind of benefits or help do they get for that move? I imagine a lot of those people have families or significant others, you know, people that are connected to them that also have to move.
Absolutely, Tom. You're completely correct. This is a really personal process for a lot of people, especially this particular background. What we're asked to do in this is really significant. Basically, people are impacted, and people have families, they have kids, they have spouses who work, they have parents that depend on them. They have to really make some hard choices here. What we've been able to do is try to open as many alternatives for them to make the best decision they can, meaning there are programs that the Department of Defense has, and therefore the Army, that will help you try to sell your home. They will help you try to rent your home if you don't want to sell it or can't sell it for whatever reason. There are programs that will help you move and seamlessly move. And of course, you're allowed house hunting trips to find a place to locate at your new location. So there are a lot of things that are entitlements for the federal employee associated with the BRAC move. And to be honest with you, BRAC entitlements are really generous in the sense that we allow you to go look. There are days that you can go try to find the right place for you and your family to move to. The expenses for that are covered as part of the BRAC process. And then clearly the entire move itself is managed just like the Army manages any moves. We're very good at it. We do it all the time. And so we're just basically saying to a lot of civilians in this particular case, it's your turn to make the decision. If it's the right decision for you to go, then we'll assist you in any way we can.
And if you have a civilian spouse or a non-federal spouse, they also have to move, but they have to find maybe a new job. And then if you have kids, you have to find a school. Can BRAC help with that too?
Well, BRAC can help in sort of an indirect way. Some of the things that we've done to help people make those choices is to make sure that they're informed about the location that they're considering moving to, meaning we've had great success in asking the local community in Alabama around Redstone Arsenal to actually come up to Virginia and talk to our employees face-to-face about what they can expect if they choose to go. What are the schools like? What are the statistics for graduation within those systems? How far can my child expect to ride the bus? Do they have to ride a bus? What is public versus private options? You know, how about the medical benefits and what can you offer me if I have a specialized medical condition? All those types of things go into the choice, and the spouse is absolutely the other part of the equation. I have a spouse, they're interested in employment. We want to maintain a dual income family. So what types of jobs, what types of industry, what types of opportunities are there that my spouse might find employment in? So all of those things go into trying to help the employee make the most informed decision possible and hopefully encourage them to go with us. That's certainly our primary goal, is to encourage as many people as possible to remain with their job and move with the organization.
We're speaking to Kate Kelly. She's chief of the BRAC office for the Army Materiel Command. And so there's a lot of people issues. What else moves physically to Redstone from up here in Virginia? Computers or furniture? I mean, what else do you have to physically move?
Well, our move is a little bit unique in the sense that it's complicated by a lot of the complexities of BRAC within the National Capital Region. As you've heard throughout your sessions this week, there are a lot of moving parts around the Beltway, and we're impacted in the sense that our facilities are being backfilled, if you will, by incoming BRAC units into Fort Belvoir. So we have what you would consider, I guess, the luxury of not having to relocate the inside components of our building, meaning the modular furniture and things like that, a lot of the IT stuff. VTC connections and things of that nature will remain in place so that the incoming BRAC units can use them to the extent that they need them. That does a couple of things. It alleviates a transportation bill that's unnecessary for us down to Redstone, but it also is very cost effective for the Army so that the incoming units fall in on usable space.
There are also issues of locality pay changes. I know the cost of living in Alabama is probably a little bit less than the cost of living in maybe Northern Virginia, but does the issue of locality pay come up at all?
You know, in the beginning, Amy, it did. I think when the first recommendations came out and people heard about them and everybody started considering what their options would be, clearly one of the first things on everybody's mind is, what is the difference in my paycheck monthly if I make this choice? What I would tell you is that because we've had people go down early, they have been able to experience the change, if you will, and yes, it's absolutely true that the locality pay is less in Alabama. But what's helpful is that people have hit the ground, they've chosen their living conditions accordingly, their paychecks have been adjusted, and they've gone through, in some cases, 2 and 3 years of living, and they're a great resource for our employees back here to say, hey, the cost of living is, in fact, commensurately less, therefore, with the locality pay adjustment, it is not a major difficulty, I should say, for the employees. In other words, because things are, in fact, less expensive down there, the adjustment in the locality pay really seems to have leveled out, and we really aren't seeing any issues with employees moving with that particular issue.
And so, finally, give us a sense of the timeline here. What's going to happen when?
Well, we are what I would consider right at the crux of the final close-in. Like I said, we've got over 800 people on the ground right now, and we have just a couple hundred, I would say, remaining here at Belvoir that still need to move. So we're at that tipping point to finish it out. We expect to be fully closed in on our facility by the middle of June, and finishing out our actual move by the middle of July. So we've got basically the last phase that we're about to push into right now. And at Belvoir today, people who have decided not to go are registered in priority placement programs and seeking other opportunities within the National Capital Region. And those that have said they will go have a sequenced move date between now and that July time frame. And so we will be completely closed in on Redstone Arsenal by 17 July of this year.